Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions about the podcast. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and I'm here along with our podcast guru, Peter Belschwinder. Today, our guest is Christian Nichols, founder of One Gen Solutions, longtime ministry leader, and one of our board members for Preparing for Amazement Ministries. Welcome, Christian.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
We're glad that you're here. So, Christian, we're going to talk a little bit about leader health, and this is one of our favorite topics. So, how have you seen the importance of leader health play out in your life?
Yeah, so number one, I think this is a huge, huge necessity to talk about. excuse me. So what are the stats now? 50% of pastors want to leave ministry and not come back. And there's a lot to that. I don't want to just say, oh, here's one thing that can fix that. But I think the greatest part of that is for a very long time, we have in the church in America, we have really depended on the charisma of a particular leader. And we have really lost focus and track of how Jesus led. And like, what did that look like? What was the model for us? And that's Jesus, right? And one of the things that I had to learn the hard way, because I was one of those pastors. I was one of those folks in ministry who just bigger, better, faster. How big can we make the youth group or the church? How much can we grow? How much can we? And honestly, those things were innocent. Like, I really wanted to reach people. It wasn't that I wanted something bigger. But it's really easy to justify it. And so one of the things for me about leader health that I learned the hard way was that if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't rest, if you don't see a therapist occasionally, at least, if you don't have people that you can talk to and that can say things to you that are both encouraging and constructive, if you don't have that in your life, it's just a matter of time. You are a ticking time bomb personally. And most of the time that ends up being professionally as well. And so leader health is very, very important, both in my sight, in my mind, to me, but also those that that are my friends, people all across the country who are pastors right now. And every chance I get to talk with them, I always ask them a series of questions about their health. Like, how are you? What are you doing to combat burnout? What are you doing to be sure your wife and kids know that you love them and that you're you know their husband and dad or whatever, or wife and mom, and you're not just the pastor or just the leader at church. So yeah, extraordinarily important. And again, I learned it the hard way through not doing it the right way for a lot of years.
Thanks for sharing that and the vulnerability of that, right? I think, you know, we learn the most in our failures. And there's times where I've been really unhealthy. And even as somebody who evaluates church health, there's sometimes where I've been part of the cause of the unhealth of a church, you know, not necessarily knowingly at the time. You've answered this a little bit, but I'm curious, you know, kind of hindsight is such a beautiful thing. I mean, what would you tell current and future pastors, church staff, ministry leaders about leader health that you wish you had applied sooner? All right. You may have known it early, but maybe you didn't apply it, or maybe you learned it late. So what would you tell those folks so that, you know, they don't end up in the situation so many pastors are in now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure that we have enough time for me to name all the things that I wish I could go back and do differently. But I think one of the biggest things that I would do is I would pay more attention to my family. I was very motivated. I have a kind of a high motor when it comes to, driving stuff forward. And I just always wasn't satisfied. And I think sometimes that played out differently for me, but at the brunt of it was my wife and my kids. They're the ones that suffered more. And so for me personally, I would say when I was leading something in student ministry, my wife would always be a leader as well. So we could kind of do ministry together. Whenever we went on trips or camps or whatever, our kids when they were little, I bet my kids have been on 15 or 20 mission trips in their life just because I was leading a mission trip. So they went with me. And so my whole thing was that, well, if they're with me, then I'm not neglecting them. But Marcus, you guys know this, that when you're on a trip with 50 teenagers to, wherever on a mission trip, you are not paying attention to your wife and kids. You're paying attention to is, are we in separate bathrooms or who's upstairs or who got hurt on the field today or where's the water? Who hasn't eaten or drink anything all day? They're going to be sick and who's got allergies? And you're doing all these things, right? And so for me, if I were going to go back, until 18-year-old Christian, who at the time had no idea when he was going to get married or what that was even going to look like, I would just go back. I would tell the 18-year-old Christian two things. One, buy Amazon stock, period. Buy it. Take every paycheck for 2 months and buy it. But
Amen.
the second thing I would tell 18-year-old Christian is, you poor invest into your wife and your kids as much as you do your leaders and your students in student ministry. And again, God's been really gracious to me, and I have a great marriage, and I have great kids. Even now, my married daughter and her husband, they like come to our house every weekend and stay the whole weekend. They sleep here, and so I love that relationship. But I still think about all the times that I was not available to them, and that would be the one thing that I think. Because, and here's why, by the way, this may be the end of the story at the beginning. Because one day you're going to be replaced at whatever church you serve, like, period. Whether you die, whether they fire you, or whether you get called to another church, that day will come. And when that happens, you leave this group of people that you've put a ton of time and energy, emotional energy into, and you walk through the front door at home, and guess who's there? The same people that have always been there. And so for me, that realization has come over the last year. I didn't even see it in my life until recently, which is really strange because I always talked about how important that stuff is. I was just deceiving myself that I was doing it in a way that was, working.
That's really good and powerful as a dad of two young kids and someone who is not in full-time ministry yet, because I want to get there. It's like you were speaking right to me, so I appreciate that. So we'll kind of close with this last question, but what kind of support should pastors, church staff, and ministry leaders be looking for to be healthy as leaders?
Yeah, Peter,
Peter,
that
that's
is such an important question to ask because I think it actually kind of opens the door to what the problem actually is. And number one, being a pastor is lonely, period. It's lonely. Not because you don't have people around you. You always have people around you. Not because what you're doing isn't very purposeful and important, because it is. Not because of any other thing, but people who've never done it don't understand it, and they can't understand it. And that's okay. They don't have to understand it. But I think the tension comes when you begin a ministry somewhere, or you've been somewhere a long time and things have changed over the years. You just find yourself in these different seasons, and it's like, I'm not sure this person understands for me to talk to them and for me to confide in them. And so many times, pastors have not had friendships, not had accountability groups, not had the kind of mental health support, like a counselor or whatever, because of money. Maybe they couldn't afford it, or maybe they're serving in a small you know, small town church somewhere that doesn't have mental health resources, or and so I think there's this stigma out there that a pastor is not a normal human being, that he, she is a super person who shouldn't struggle. So I think educating people on that is very important, like saying, hey, and that's sort of what I do now. Like, I love it now that I'm, this has been my first year not being a pastor. So I've had a lot of firsts, my first, you know, Christmas not leading, first Easter not leading, all of those things are, I've had all my firsts now. And, you know, one of the things that, that I try to tell my pastor friends and remind them is it's okay. It'll be there tomorrow. Yep, I know every Sunday's coming. There's about 52 of them every year, and you're going to need to preach or teach or whatever. I try to encourage people that hey, pray for your pastor. So I'll put that on my social media sometimes on like Saturday evening. I'm like, hey, pray for your pastor, because you have no idea the kind of week he's had, and now he's going in, she's going in to preach this sermon, and it's been rough, you know. And so I think championing other people to be better at that is one way to help pastors, but there's still always going to be that fear of disclosing or saying something to someone and it come back and bite you, because humans are human. And sometimes we can be pretty nasty creatures to one another. And particularly when it comes to mental health issues, which I know that's not really part of the question, but I think it is an important part of a leader's health. Particularly when it comes to mental health issues, people don't want to hear that their pastor is mentally ill, right? Like, you don't want to hear that. And I'm the type of person where I just come out and say it. Like, I had no issues standing on the stage when I had those opportunities and saying, hey, your pastor takes this pill every morning to make sure his brain chemistry does the things it's supposed to do. But that's a rarity. And most of the time, pastors can't do that. They can't stand on the stage on Sunday morning and go, hey, my wife and I are struggling right now. Can you pray for us? Oh, and by the way, turn in, you know, your Bible to, you know, Corinthians, and we're going to talk about marriage. That's just not how that works. And I think sometimes that's a tension that the pastor lives in. And then you combine it with some past experience. I don't know anyone who's been in ministry longer than 5 minutes who hasn't been betrayed by somebody, right? Like, it's, if Jesus had Judas, you're going to have, you know, Deacon Tom or whoever it's going to be, you're going to have it. And how do you navigate that? And how do you not close down to other relationships once you have been burned? So teaching some of those soft skills, the soft connecting skills, I think are really important for pastors to maintain their health over a long period of time.
That's really good stuff. I appreciate all that. And I think it's true, you know, that it vulnerability, transparency, authenticity, those are tricky things. And some of the best leadership by pastors is done when you do that. But it comes at a super high risk. And obviously there's the line, you know, you shouldn't be so stoic that you pretend you don't have any problems or issues or challenges, but you know, you shouldn't sit there and, you know, share your deepest, darkest thoughts or sins, you know, from the pulpit, right? There's gotta be a right line there where, you know, people can relate to you so that they can relate to Jesus, you know, but there's also got to be this kind of line. I think it's tricky, and you're right. It's a very isolating thing. There's a lot of betrayal for sure. I shared in a sermon at a church just yesterday, preaching through Ephesians 4, and talking about the church. And like, the fact is that, you know, I've never been hurt. My family's never been hurt by a non-Christian deeply. Hurt by a non-Christian. It's always been Christians and church folks. And I think I encourage staff, pastors and staff, you know, you do need somebody in the church that you can kind of trust, or somebody locally, right? Obviously, you can't tell them everything, and you've got to recognize that friendships you have in the church, if you work in the church, may go away if you stop working in the church. That's always been a hard thing for me, and very hard for my wife. I think, you know, secondly, we've got to have somebody, you know, outside the church, whether, again, it's a local person or a denominational person, but somebody to connect with. But then really we need almost a third person, in ministry that's none of those things. Because again, if it's a local person or a denominational person, right, you have to work with them, you work in the same town, right? You almost, I mean, that's part of the reason we started Pastors for Pastors, right? Because we recognize that pastors need pastors too. And we've got to have those places where pastors and church staff and ministry leaders of all ages, races, genders, you know, can come together and, you know, freely, you know, not a complaint fest, right? But to freely talk about issues of ministry and leadership so that, you know, so that we can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, the very definition of leadership is simple, right? John Maxwell says leadership is influence. And I am the hardest person that I lead by far. I am always going to be the hardest person that I lead because I tend to influence myself through deceit and through, you know, oh, it's fine. Yeah, oh, this is going to be, it's good. I'm fine, right? I'm okay. Don't, no worries. And so influencing who we are is important, but having other people who influence us is important as well. And, you know, when you're a kid, your parents are like, well, if they all jump off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? And you know, we hear those little things. And so it's almost like we build this immunity to not be vulnerable with people and to not follow after people and to not, not allow people to fail. So when someone fails, it's just like, okay, they're no good at this anymore. And we forget that, you know, how many times did Michael Jordan miss a jump shot in his life? Like how many times did, you know, Richard Petty not win a race when he was in a race car? How many times, you know, and we forget that all of us are flawed human beings. It's just, we begin to deceive ourselves thinking I'm not as bad as X or Y or Z or whoever. And I think the leaders who are going to be healthy moving forward, particularly younger leaders that I see coming up in the church and in business world right now, they're real gritty. And they're going to share stuff and they're going to say these things. They're going to stand up in a business meeting at a church or in a conference meeting at work and go, you know what, my life is really difficult right now. And here's how I'm working through it. And I need your help with these things. Whereas, you know, we're two generations removed in the other side where it's like, I'm never going to let them see me sweat ever. And so the leaders that last long haul are going to be able to balance that, not saying too much, but saying and doing enough. And then you don't have to have 100 friends, but you need 3 really good friends, right? You need 3 people who ride or die, no matter what, you know, what my friend calls a 3 a.m. friend. Like, I'm your 3 a.m. friend. And for leaders, if you're going to last a long time, then you're going to have it for sure.
Yeah, all that stuff is so important. I, you know, somebody asked me once, what's it like to mostly work for yourself? And I said, it's great, but my boss is an ass. And, you know, I mean, there is this sense in which, yeah, self-leadership is really, really hard. And it starts with self-knowledge. And it's hard to have robust self-knowledge without vulnerability, without humility. And certainly, you know, we celebrate bravado so much in our culture, even in the church anymore. And so appreciate your humility, you know, knowing the various successes and failures of your career, knowing the walking with you as a friend and a colleague and the various joys and challenges of ministry, because this leader health thing is a really big deal. Not only to longevity and effective ministry, but as you've pointed out, to the health of your family, you know, to the well-being and really to what it means to communicate the gospel. And so, yeah, so thank you, Christian, again, for being with us today. Christian leads One Gen Solutions, one of our ministry partners, and you can learn more about them on our website. As always, we thank you for listening and encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to have lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We welcome any comments or suggestions of topics or guests or thoughts. or questions you have on our podcast, simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. Thanks for listening.